We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Come on, join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I do with all my heart. I thank you for your word. I love your word. Your word is a light unto our path. It's a lamp to our feet. Your word, I pray we hide in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Your word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing and the separation of that which is joint and marrow, that which is of soul and that which is of spirit. And I thank you for the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. One word from you and our life can be changed forever. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Speak to us this morning, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've become a word junkie lately. I don't know what's going on with me. I have all these audio books I listen to. I don't even care about them anymore. All I'm doing is listening to the audio book of the Bible. And I just can't get enough of it. I wake up, I got Saul in my head. I got King Saul, and then I got Samuel the prophet. And I'm waking up going, how could David be so forgiving and kind to a man that was trying to kill him? And I have dreams now about all these stories in the Bible, having been to the Holy Land more times than I can even recall. And I've been on site, on location, where I've seen preach these sermons and now been to the very place. And I woke up this morning with the book of Isaiah, and that's the interpretation. And it's all Isaiah 56, and I'm like, I had to play that chapter over again. And then I had to play that. I'm just hoping as I'm talking, I'm wetting some of your appetites for the Word of God. Amen. I mean, turn off the TV, get off the internet, get off Netflix. Just get the Bible, get the Word of God into you. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so my message today is, and I'm going to give this a shot. I don't know if I can do it or not, but I'm going to try very hard. But I am going to ask you to give me my original talking time back now, because I want to talk to you on people you can and people you can't build a church on. Because remember a couple of months ago, this is now April, and this is the first Sunday of the month, and the first Sunday of the month we talk to all of our campuses. And so I'm very intentional when I'm talking to all of our campuses that Dad is talking to the whole family. And I cast a vision in February about we're going to see 20 Wave churches in the United States. And I thought for us to do that, it's going to require some insight and knowledge. And over my last 20 years of being the senior pastor of Wave Church, but I've also been around for a lot longer than that as a Christian leader in Australia, 8 years or 9 years in Hillsong Church, and before that, 10 years in a church that I got saved in, ended up being on staff as the youth pastor, and then ended up on and off being the acting senior pastor. So when you add all that up, that's 38 years. Of church life. How many know in 38 years you're going to learn some things by your own mistakes and by the leadership decisions you've made and by watching other people and then being the superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Sydney North, looking after 60 churches and helping pastors, and then of course looking after all the Hillsong church plants internationally, London, Kiev, and started one in Italy, and then of course throughout my years of traveling and different pastors' conferences and being here at Wave Church, and we've started more campuses than we have because there was a couple of campuses we decided it's not going the direction we wanted to, so we're going to pull it back. You with me here? And like I said, I'm not afraid to make mistakes, but I will learn from them. You with me here? And so over that time, you just learned there are some people you can build a church on and there's some people you can't build a church on. You with me here? There's some people Jesus let walk away. Are you with me here? And there's some people Jesus gathered. There's some people Jesus took a risk with. And sometimes his belief in them, they themselves were unable to live up to perhaps even the hopes and the desires and plans that even God himself had for certain people. But I love the fact that God's willing to work with us. Don't you? So I thought in light of this 20 churches in the next 20 years, And in light of speaking to all of our campuses and speaking futuristically about the kind of people we need to be and the kind of people we can't be if we're going to build great churches, that's what I took on today. Is that okay? You with me here? Some of you have been around for a while, you'll resonate with these thoughts. So here's the scripture I want to start with, Matthew 16, verse 18. I think we got more verses than that, but for the sake of time, Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So one thing we better know is Jesus is building his church. Amen. Jesus is building his church. Wave Church is not the church of Steve and Sharon Kelly. It is Jesus' church. Amen. I just get to be the head fool because God chooses the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. So if there's fools in Wave Church, I would be the head fool. Amen. Happy to be the head fool for Jesus. Amen. God chooses the foolishness of preaching, praise the Lord, to confound the wise. So Jesus said, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. I don't want to be laboring only to find out God's not building this. I want to be building, I want to be laboring, building the one thing that hell will not prevail against. I want to spend my life, dedicate and devote my life to building what Christ is building. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize it was all for nothing, that God was never in it, God was never building it. But if God is building his church and he's loving his church, he's owning his church, he's laying down his life for the church, then hell will not prevail against anything and everything I put into building what he is building. I can put my family into the church and hell will not prevail against my family. I can put my finances into the church and hell cannot prevail against my finances. If I involve myself in building what he is building, hell cannot win against it in Jesus' name. I thought that was good preaching right there. I've seen great church leaders build great churches. I've seen ordinary leaders build great churches. I've never seen a poor leader build a great church. Did you hear me? I've never seen a poor leader build a great church. I've seen great preachers build big churches. I know some people who've got a gift of healing that can draw a crowd. Are you hearing me? A ministry gift of supernatural signs and wonders, and they can draw a crowd. They can bring the presence of God, a revelation of who God is with their gift. And they can get a crowd. But to build a church, it takes a little bit more work. Amen? I've seen churches surrender to a revival spirit. And they have meetings every night that go for 5 hours. You cannot healthily build and sustain a people on going out every night of the week for 3 hours in revival meetings for a length of time. You've got to somewhere put leadership, organization, management, structure, and that gift of all those things right behind the supernatural gift, or it will implode. Are you hearing me? And so I want to talk to you about the kind of people you can't build a church on. Number one, you can't build a church on people who give the devil a foothold. The Bible says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls. And he prowls around like a roaring lion. Not that he is, because Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He just tries to copy. Are you hearing me? And it says, seeking or looking for someone to devour. So if he's looking for someone to devour, he might take a look at Robert and Margaret and think to himself, I wonder if I can take them out. Well, if they don't give the devil a foothold in their life, he can't. So he looks and goes, can I get them? No, I'll find somebody else. And this is what I believe is important. As Christians, as a part of God's house, we have to make sure we don't give the devil a foothold. When the devil was to look at your life, are there areas in your life where you're giving him access? Because that's what we need to be. You can't build a strong, healthy, vibrant church on people who just give the devil open access because they are ignorant of his devices. Listen to what it says here about Mark chapter 3, verse 24. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. If Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has to come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. let me just put it this way. I've seen churches with faulty foundations. And what it's saying is a house divided against itself cannot stand. Let me ask you a question. How many churches do you think in Hampton Road were started as of a church split? I will guarantee you over half of them. And it's a house in that sense that becomes divided against itself. There are 2,700 churches in Hampton Roads. And I honestly believe a lot of them have got what I would consider to be faulty foundations. Matter of fact, anyone who knows the history of this church will know there were some bad foundations in this church. But thank God that the Assemblies of God and Pastor Wally Odom reconciled and publicly washed each other's feet and got that right. Or I wouldn't be the pastor today if I thought the church actually had those foundations that were faulty. The church that Sharon and I got saved in, that when we moved on from that church to be part of the Hillsong Church, we were owed tens of thousands of dollars of our retirement money that was put into a retirement fund. But when we left, for some reason that only known to the senior pastor, they decided they weren't going to give us the money that was owed to us, that was legally, morally, rightfully ours. And I remember going, hey guys, this is wrong. This is money I took out of my salary and my long service leave, and I invested it into this and with the intention that if ever anyone moved on, they'd get their portion plus whatever else that came as a result of it. They said, we're not giving it to you. And God in that moment tested my heart, because I wanted to legally go after him, but I thought, I don't want to throw mud on the bride. I don't want to put a church in a newspaper in a scandal. I don't want to do that. So I said, God, people are more important than money. And we went on to where we believe God called us to go with tens of thousands of dollars legally, morally owed to us that we never saw. And many years later, when that senior pastor eventually moved on, the new senior pastor, who you all know, Jack Haynes, came to be the pastor. He did a 40-day prayer and fast on the 40th day, just wanting to make sure he was establishing an understanding from heaven what were the foundations that maybe need to be corrected. Because you can't build a great church on faulty foundations. And on the 40th day of the fast, this is a true story, God speaks to Jack Haynes, says, you need to go to Steve Kelly and repent on behalf of what the church did to him. And he didn't know anything about it. And he came to me in my office and tears in his eyes going, please forgive me, please forgive me. I said, forgive you? You've never done anything. And he goes, no, I'm praying and fasting. The 40th day of my prayer and fast, God says, I'm to go to you and apologize. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, Jack, look at me, man. Everything's okay. I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, look, as I've prayed, I just felt like the Lord said it was something to do with money. And I went, oh yeah. And then it all came flooding back to me. And I went, Jack, when we left, they wronged us. And he just repented. And I said, don't worry about it. What I love about that story is when he came to repent and God remembered it, but I didn't. You with me here? It wasn't even in my, it didn't even come to my memory. I wasn't carrying the wound of that. Give an example here. Where's my bucket? Let me have a look. Just show me, where's my cup? Give me my cup for a minute. Like to me, in that moment, this would be like poison. That could have made me bitter. Are you hearing me? And like me, to keep on doing offense is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I just went, don't worry about it, man. It's okay. Do you know what he kept doing? He kept sending me a check every month for $1,000. It was tens of thousands of dollars. And I didn't need the money. God's my supply. And I finally remember, said, Jack, you send me one more check. I'm going to just send it back to you, man. I'm blessing the church. I'm honoring you. But I believe that's why that church is such a life-giving church today. Because watch, look at me, hold the bucket. I just decided I'm going to pour it out and forget all about it and trust that God will take care of you. Amen? So the devil always seeks to divide, always. When Cheryl and I first came here, we had a guy that was in leadership that we took on the church, and he was in leadership, and unbeknownst to me, the couple that actually, whose daughter there was an African American worship leader, and the husband and wife of their daughter, of that daughter, gave a death threat to the worship leader. If you keep dating my daughter, we will kill you. And I went to the worship leader, show me. I saw it. And so I went and spoke to this couple who were in leadership. And I said, is this true? Did this come from your family? He says, yes. You don't understand. We're from Louisiana. I said, dude, I couldn't care if you're from Mars. You cannot and you will not call yourself a Christian and think that this is right or justifiable. And they said, but you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. If you don't find it in your heart to repent, you're not welcome in this church. And he says, we're not coming anymore. Started a church down the road. To this day, it's about 40, 50 people down the church. And he put on his website, he was in leadership here, but we were not caring or pastoral of people. And that's why they start. Can I tell you, for all my heart, I go, God, that's on you. You judge that. I just want to keep my heart sweet in Jesus' name. Amen. Faulty foundations. God can't bless that. But I don't want to be the one that judges it. I say, God, I give it to you in Jesus' name. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. The devil's greatest strategy is to bring division, knowing that actually God's house can never be strengthened if we're together. Come on, somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand if you receive that message. A marriage, a business, a ministry, whatever it is you want to bring it down to, if it gets divided, we ought not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We cannot build strong, great, life-giving, life-changing churches in our city if we allow the enemy to get in and bring division in Jesus' name. I think that's worth giving God a big hand right now. Amen. LA, Seaboard. Look at this. It says, number two, you can't build a church on hirelings. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he, the hired hand, sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Why? Because then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. You can't build a great, strong church on people who are here today, gone tomorrow. You can't build a church that is going to be changing a city on people who are just here for the platform opportunity, for the microphone opportunity, for the prestige, for the title. You certainly can't put people on staff and employ them if they're not going to be willing to lay down their life for the sheep, because the moment a better opportunity comes, they're gone. And we've seen plenty of that in my 38 years of Christian life. Are you hearing? A better opportunity, more salary. Matter of fact, I don't tell this very often, but I think it's worth letting you know. Over my years, not just being here in the last 20 years, but many people, many pastors, many churches have tried to get me to come and be the senior pastor of that church. And at times, some of them, I mean, you want to talk about a place you'd like to live in your flesh? Some of them are like, dang, that'd be nice. Don't know if I'd be a very good pastor. I might be fishing all the time. But one church actually offered me here in the States and said, if you will come and be the senior pastor of our church, we will pay you $600,000. And they really put together everything they could to make this financially attractive, thinking that the money would motivate me. Well, number one, you need to know I am so not paid anything even remotely close to anything like that. But I'm not here for the money. I'm here because this is where God's called me to be. And Jesus is trying to tell us here that if we got people who are serving, I'll sing as long as I get to be the main leader. I'll serve as long as I get a title. I'll give as long as I get some special favor with the pastor. I'll look like a shepherd and act like a shepherd. But the moment there's a tough time, I'm out of here. You can't build life-giving, life-changing churches on people who are hirelings. Come on, somebody say amen. Number three, you can't build a church on people who don't want to reach others. Jesus said about the parable about leaving the 99 and going after the one. We've got to be people who don't have an us for and no more mentality. Church, I want to challenge us. I'm tired of the triangles being empty. It's about time we started believing to see them get filled up again in Jesus' name. Can anybody say amen? We got to reach our city. We got a big vision. And don't just make church about just bless me, anoint me, thrill me, give me a good word. Don't just be that kind of person that says, Pastor, I didn't get much out of the worship. Cool, because we weren't worshiping you. Amen. We're wanting to reach people in Jesus' name. Amen. Number four, you can't build a church on people who are not accountable or teachable to leadership. Too many Christians won't follow biblical church leadership and vision. That's why there's so many churches that are started out of a church. Because we don't like the vision of the pastor. And we're going to actually do our thing. And let me tell you something. Submission. Write this down. If you got pen and paper. We used to be really good note takers in this church. I think we need to get back to it. Listen. Submission is never proven in agreement. If you agree, there's nothing to submit to. Submission is only proven in when you don't agree. That's deep. Write that down. Now, if anybody's ever asked you in a marriage context between a husband and a wife, in a church context, if anybody's asking you to do something that's illegal, that's immoral, that's unscriptural, don't do it. Amen? But outside of that, submission's never proven in agreement. It's only proven in disagreement. Can you submit? Submission. Can you get under the mission? Show me a marriage where they are submitted one to another unto the Lord, and I'll show you a marriage that God is building and God is blessing. It won't be a perfect marriage. It won't be a marriage without challenges, but show me a couple that are willing to submit to one another as unto the Lord, and I'll show you a marriage that has the hand of God upon it, even though our flesh is involved. Show me a church where a people are under the mission and the vision of the church, and I'll show you a church that will not be a perfect church. It will not have a perfect pastor, but it will have the hand of God on it in spite of people's humanity. Come on. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who speak the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I'm amazed of my years and 38 years when I see churches go down a split and there's some new pastor that comes in on a team and then he decides after a couple of years that he's been around, that he knows more than the senior pastor, and these people go with that pastor and go off and start a church down the road, but that pastor that's been there for 20 years faithfully considering the outcome of his conduct has shown himself to be faithful and loyal, and actually people will go with Johnny Come Lately. Are you hearing me? And again, I'm just going to make it clear. You can't build a church on people who do not live their life in agreement with godly leadership and who are teachable. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who give an account. In other words, I just want to make it clear. I will stand before God one day and give an account for all of you. Did you love them? Did you shepherd them? Did you pastor them? Did you see that they were... How many know I can't care for you all individually? I can have a heart that loves and cares for you all, but that's why we have a team. That's why we have people. I had someone yesterday just said to me, thank you, Pastor, so much for the flowers you sent. Now, I knew we'd sent flowers, but I never personally sent the flowers, but I made sure the flowers were sent because I want them to know, we care, we think about you. Amen. So I just wanted to help you understand what it means. It's like, it says, you know, do this. I'll give an account for those. And every leader gives an account. It says, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Watch this. For that would be of no benefit to you. In other words, you make life hard for the leader, but you're making life really hard for yourself. Amen. Think about it in a parenting perspective. When you're teaching your kids, hey, I want you to do this. Don't make my parenting a burden. That will be of no benefit to you. Does anybody understand that in the context of family? And it's also in the context of God's house. Number five, you can't build a church on people who won't live their life according to God's word. Pastor, we want to come to Wave Church. We want to be in leadership. We're not married. We're living together. We're having sex, which is fornication. But we want to be in leadership. Can we go there for a minute? We love you. But if you're not willing to bring your life in alignment to the Word of God, I'll give you an example. I mean, some of you don't like me talking about this, but it's okay. Because, you know, the other day I was in Texas and I was speaking with Ed Young's Fellowship Church staff. And Sam and Laurie took us, we're staying at their house, Sharon and I, and we're walking down by this park with this beautiful little, I don't know what it is, like a lake, I guess, honey, is it? And there was all these ducks and geese and everything. And so I love birds. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a bird lover. I love birds. I want to own a parrot, but my wife will not allow me. She just doesn't allow it. She told me one day we had a cockatoo. It's me, it's her, or the bird. One of them's going to go. I said, I'm going to miss you, darling. Well, obviously the bird's gone. We gave it to somebody who was deaf, which is the wisest thing we ever did. It wasn't intentional, but she'll never hear the bird. Praise the Lord. So Sharon said to me, get rid of the bird. So I love birds. I do. Josh does too. We love birds. I love them. The toucan bird. Oh, I love it. Indian ringnet parrot. Love it. I love birds. I'm a bird guy. And so I walk up to this goose, was almost a bird. And I look and I'm thinking, I wonder what it'd take to get him to jump in the water. I wonder how close I'll get to him. It was a beautiful warm day. It wasn't cold. And I walked up and I thought, I'm going to get, and he literally, this bird had attitude. This goose looked at me like, uh-uh. And so I finally just shuffled my feet and the bird went, really? You're going to make me do this? And I went, oh, I'm going to make you do it. And he just plopped into the water and swam away. And I thought, I wonder what those birds, I wonder how much attitude they got. And so I found some more and I went over here to these ones and I went, all right, let's see what it takes. Well, these birds were flightier than the other. These ones just started with their webbed feet. They didn't want to go in the water. They were going along the dry ground. But I saw all these conduit pipes of water irrigation pipes going and I thought this poor bird with these webbed feet is going to get his foot stuck under the pipe. So I tried to put my foot out in front of it so it wouldn't trip. And then the bird kind of finally jumped into the water. Well, just then, a lady who was 70 yards away driving a car saw me doing that and honked a horn. And I looked and she goes, what's wrong with you? And then I realized to her, it probably looked like I kicked the bird. And I went, and she goes, F you! And I went, what? Church, I would never kick a duck or a goose. That's just not my MO. I just don't kick birds. But I did think to myself, she was passionate and was calling me out thinking I was hurting that goose. And then I thought about in Los Angeles. By the way, LA, we love you. But did you know in LA, there is a certain bird that actually has a nest. And if you affect any of the eggs in that nest, that it is a $100,000 fine for the preservation of the nest. Not only is it a $100,000 fine, it is 10 years in jail potentially. And I thought, I pray as Christians in God's house that we're as committed to the Word of God when it comes to abortion and as fired up about preserving the life of a child as the lady saying F you to me was, or as passionate about looking after a few bird's eggs in California. See, you can't build a church on people who won't live their life in accordance to the teaching of Scripture. So I started thinking, well, what is that? Here's the first one. I just wrote down a couple. Maybe just the commitment to going to church regularly. Amen? Like going to church, watch this, not once a month, but you're teaching, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Everybody should have a vacation. Anybody traveling on business. Do you know, I talked to a couple who hadn't been in our services for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. But, you know, every Sunday they watched online because they were away on business. I'm not talking about those sorts of people. I'm talking about the people who wake up and go, will I, won't I? And I realize I'm maybe talking to a lot of people that need to hear this that aren't here. But there's also a few of you here that come every month, and this is the one you'll hear. So let it sting. Because if you actually want to build a strong and healthy church, you can't build a church on people where church is optional, where church is negotiable. Talked to a guy the other day. God is a way of testing your heart and your motive, doesn't he? Like here I'm preaching this message about, you know, I got one of the points I'm not going to get to is don't get offended. Pour out the poison. Don't drink the poison. Expect the other person to die. So I'm writing this message yesterday, and I'm in a gun store, as I like to be. And I brought a shotgun, a left-handed Beretta shotgun in Texas, and having it shipped back to Virginia because I know Peter aren't going to like this, but I'm going to go turkey hunting. You with me here? Don't write me letters. I won't read them. And so I'm going to go turkey hunting. And so, and I brought myself a left-handed because I'm left-eye dominant. And so I walk into the store yesterday, and I'm trying to be friendly, and I said, here's my name, and I wrote my name down, and he looks up at me and goes, you're Steve Kelly. I said, yeah, I just wrote that on the piece of paper. That's my name. He goes, you're the pastor of Wave Church. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, I know you. I said, and of course, his whole demeanor changed, and I'm preaching a message to you about don't get offended, and he goes, you own a helicopter. And I went, oh my gosh, here is that story again. I looked in and I said, sir, I promise you, I do not own a helicopter. I have never owned a helicopter. I do not own a helicopter. I do not have a $4 million castle in King's Grant. If I do, I would like to live in it. And he says, no, you own a helicopter. And I said, listen, I actually don't. I said, I have never, and I, by the way, let me just say this. So what if I did? Can I say that? So what if I did? But the thing is, I don't. And so I said to him, I said, it was a newspaper article when I was doing 7 services on a Sunday, and the last 2 months, our eldership saw how tired I was getting and knew I was driving down to our other campus down in Seaboard Road and said, can we help you between your traveling just for the last couple of months, just to give you a bit of a chance to breathe and rest between all your preaching? I said, sure. So we got permission, Josh, from the city council, whereas to land this helicopter and to take us over the Oceania Air Base, military permission to fly over the runway to get there as quick as we can, land me right at Seaboard Road, preach, and come back and preach again at Great Neck for the last 2 months. Some neighbor didn't like it, didn't like the idea of a pastor flying in a helicopter, and went to the city and complained. The city gave us a cease and desist notice, and the newspaper wrote all about it. And then the funny thing is, we talked to the city and said, why would you give us a cease and desist notice when you're the ones that gave us permission? The newspaper never printed that. City went, sorry, but I'm still today, as of yesterday, walking into a gun store, having a guy who still thinks I'm flying around in a helicopter. So I walked out when he told me he was going to get me the gun. I said, by the way, when it comes, I'll fly my helicopter to pick it up just to help him have a bit of a laugh. I think I won him. I think I convinced him. And yet, can I just say this to you? The reasons why people have, they don't go to church. For this guy, it was this. He was under conviction. He goes, Pastor, you don't understand. He goes, my life's so busy. I work 6 days a week. I only get one day off. Do you have any idea how many times I've heard that? And I'm thinking to myself, to not be a part of God's house, I think this is strong, but I'm not going to apologize it. I think it's committing spiritual suicide. As for me and my house, we're going to be in God's house. And God's house will be a priority for everything and everything we do. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But maybe here's another one. Maybe giving is an issue. Just the whole attitude of generosity. And by the way, can I just say this? I'm not just talking about giving to Wave Church. And we ought to tithe. And we ought to give. But I'm talking about having a life that you bring your life in alignment with the wisdom of the Word of God, where you don't spend more than you earn, where you don't, listen, spend money twice. You don't put a law on a credit card and then declare yourself bankrupt and think to yourself, you'll never have to pay it back anyway. That's immoral. That's stealing. If you intentionally do that, now I understand some people need financial counseling and the advice is to declare bankruptcy because you got yourself in an unfortunate situation. But I know plenty of people who just do it and then declare themselves bankrupt. And it's rather than actually take the wisdom of Scripture and live your life in alignment with the Word of God, better a living dog than a dead lion. Oh, it's very quiet in here. Are we okay? Is this Wave Church? I mean, 1000 North Great Neck Road. Is that the address you meant to come to this morning? Is this helping anybody? Come on, you just can't build. Just can't. And let me just say this. I've seen pastors jack this up and get people in trouble. I was in a church, you know, a while ago, and I was preaching about, you know, don't get up to your nostrils in debt and credit cards. And I lost the entire meeting. Everybody went dead quiet. And I looked down at the pastor, I go, what just happened? Because there was a gasp in the auditorium. Because I was just teaching this principle about managing your finances, better a living dog than a dead lion. Maybe don't drive as nice a car and it's a living dog rather than a dead lion, a car you can't afford. Live in the house you can't afford. And when it comes to giving, you with me here? It's like managing your finances so you can give. And that's what I was teaching. I'm thinking, I want to be a part of a church of a pastor who teaches that. Amen. Well, and the pastor went, move on. And I went, okay, I'm here and it's his house. And I said to him after, I said, what was all that about? He goes, I teach the exact opposite of what you just preached. I said, okay, what do you preach? What do you teach? He goes, I tell everybody every year, get a credit card and to go in debt from $1,000 to $10,000. Give that money to the church and then pay the credit card back. And I said, I would never teach that. Never. If I ever did, slap me up the side of the face and call me crooked. I'm teaching people how to live a blessed life and out of the overflow, how to give and be generous. Because that's Bible. Come on, somebody say amen. But you can't build a church on people who won't live their life in accordance to the Word of God. Serving. When we call sin, sin. And we don't have cultural holiness, we have biblical holiness. Are you hearing me now? And I'm not saying anybody's perfect here. Are you hearing me? I know I've gone over. I'm finishing, I promise you. I want you to hear this. It's not like we're expecting perfection of me or of you. But what we are looking for is people who are willing to continually bring their heart in alignment, watch this, with the Word of God. And so maybe your heart's over here and the Word of God's over here on a matter. And all of a sudden, your heart gets pointed out. Hey, versus, we just need people whose hearts are soft to the Word of God. Come on, give a Lord a hand. I didn't have time to do the other five, but we will next Sunday, Palm Sunday, and this will be the 5 points. You ready for it? You can build a church on people who are unoffendable. You can build a church on people who have loyalty. You can build a church on people who are teachable. You can build a church on people who have a love for Jesus and for His house. And number five, you can build a church on people who are planted in the house of God. Give a Lord a hand if you receive the Word.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.